Aloha and hello everyone to Making Love Visible. My name is June Dillinger and I'm absolutely delighted to be here sharing with you today. I have a guest on the program, on this podcast, The Juniverse, and his name is Elias Scultori. And I have to say, I have practiced his name over and over again, and I'm guessing that probably many people have. He is a coach, facilitator. You know what? Elias, you just tell them all what you are. Would you give us your background and your title, and then I'll share a little bit how I know you.
So I'm just Elias. I am originally from Brazil, but I have been living in the U.S. and the northeast of U.S., very close to New York City, for the 29 years now. So it's been quite a long time that I moved to this country. Presently, I am an executive coach. And my primary focus is on supporting leaders within organizations into the coach approach, how they can learn about the coach approach to be more effective leaders in their organization. That's part of my practice. I'm also, as June, as you said, I am a facilitator. I'm faculty at two coaching training schools, an assessor for the International Coaching Federation, and I support new coaches into the process of being certified coaches with the ICF. So this is primarily what I do.
Awesome. And I want to share it with all of you. The reason why I invited Elias to be with us today is because I have been on the coaching journey since last June. And yay, I just graduated from the program, so now I got to get to the ICF portion. But the reason why I've invited Elias on the program today is because while he was my first instructor when I started to retake the classes, I had finished the entire program, I took a class called Personal Foundation with him. And it was a redo, and it was an 8-week class. And what I discovered in his facilitation in the class was something much deeper. And I felt by the way he offered his come from that he made love visible by the way he held the space for us as coaches to grow by asking some really valuable questions. And it felt like for me, not just to be a successful coach with an amazing man like this with me today and my own mentor, Nance McLeod, and many of the other course instructors that are just phenomenal, that I would ask Elias some questions about your coaching journey and what the value is of coaching. So I'd like to know, Elias, how did you even get into this industry? And because I'm new to this. I mean, most people know I've had 78 jobs and the caveat of having worked for Delta Airlines for 12 years and retired and then owning a destination wedding business now for 12 years and over 800 weddings. But that doesn't add credibility to coaching, except that I can share with all kinds of people and I'm relatively attractive and people want to know what's going on with June. And so what's going on with you and how did you get to this point?
So coaching came to me out of a search. I was, well, let's put it this way. My personal mission as an individual, as a human being, is really creating a space for connection and growth. I share this with students in the classroom. I mentioned this to people. These two primary core values for me, connection and growth, came to me very easily. It was just one day really reflecting on who am I, what have I been doing, and what really makes me tick. And these two words were very, very easy to come up with. The idea of connection, the idea of creating this space where people are able to not only connect within between themselves as community, but make connections within themselves, in learning and insights, so that they have a better understanding, deeper awareness of who they are, and be able to make love visible, as you mentioned, right? This is what makes me really feel at home. When I am being able to create that space for connection and growth. So this has always been my purpose, and coaching came, I I found out about coaching. I don't even remember how I got around coaching, but once I got into the world of coaching, it was very clear to me, this is home to me, because it is a place where whether I am leading a class, or if I'm working with a mentee, or if I'm working with my clients, or if I'm going to an organization, I am really, what I'm doing is just that, is creating this space for people to connect with themselves, connect with each other, and be able to grow and develop and become closer and closer to our full purpose and who we are supposed to be. That's the joy for me as far as coaching goes.
I love that, because I don't know what I thought coaching was, honestly. There was that little invitation to look, and down the rabbit hole I went, to this whole new personal development within me, and a discovery of me. And I would probably say halfway through the coaching program, I'm like, what on earth have I gotten myself into? You know, I've spent some money and I'm committed. I'm halfway in. Oh my God, is coaching really about this? And you know, the universe corresponds, it seems, with the nature of our song. The right things show up to support us in winning. And I wasn't all of a sudden going to say, no, I'm not going to be doing this, because the other part to this as well was I was seeing a man that was talking to me about, listen, are you listening? Could you just be? And then I found this coaching program that basically, as a coach, requires me to ask listening questions, like what questions to the who I'm speaking with or is sharing with me. And so deeper listening became required for me to get connected, but not just with the client or the coachee, with this individual named June self. And I was like, oh, this sucks. I don't like this anymore. But I was so deep in it already. And the more I stayed in it, the more I began to discover that coaching is way more life-giving than anything else. And I began to actually lean in and to hear a different story about what coaching was about and the value of it, and that asking profound questions to move the coachee to discovery of self was really what it came to be about. And you, Elias, have taken it to an even higher level by being a facilitator of this stuff. And so how long have you been in this field of instruction?
In coaching, it's been about 15, 16 years. As instructor, probably I would say 8 years, half of that time. Because I started teaching even before I started teaching in this particular school that I teach now. I was teaching prior to that. It's so interesting, June, that your experience, and I see this with the majority of the students. People come, we say this in, you know, within the faculty, and the assessors of the ICF as well. People come to coaching training thinking of, oh yeah, another training, another set of skills that I'm gonna get, and okay, another tool in my toolbox, and then starts coaching training, and all of a sudden we start noticing, oh, there is more that needs to happen inside than simply, you know, how to create the brilliant question, or to how to ask a question, or how to listen. There is a lot more about who we are. And I always say this, coaching is a human to human interaction, even especially perhaps when we are doing executive coaching or business coaching, or we are working with managers and CEOs of multinationals, it's still a human to human interaction. And that is the brilliance. And that is the moment when there is that different mindset. You know, I don't want to make this too long, but I was in conversation this week, and someone in class, actually, someone was asking, like, what do you feel are the disruptors for the within the to the coaching profession? And I responded saying, coaching is the disruptor in our culture. And I feel that for the longest time, especially in organizations, we have been so much into a traditional mindset of how things need to operate, the hierarchical structure and the shoulds and what is supposed to be. And here comes coaching and really connecting us to the core, right? How can we make love visible within the structure of corporate America, right? How can we make love visible everywhere we go?
I love how you said the disruptor. So on my little profile on Clubhouse, I have disruptor for love. Because the truth is that as I have fully been in a relationship of sorts this past year with an amazing man, and it's completely been a disruptor for love, in love, by love, around love, in the variety, in the space of love, of self, of him, of the world around me, how I see everything. And when I look at coaching, I often wonder, and maybe you can answer this question, do people even know what coaching is, number one? And number two, do they have an idea of what they're getting themselves into?
Oftentimes, no. Coaching is a fairly new profession, standardized profession. So I feel that the marketplace is still getting to know what coaching truly is and the potential of coaching. And there is actually a lot of confusion because oftentimes we talk about coaching, but actually we are talking about mentoring, or we are talking about consulting, or we are talking about teaching or training. And coaching is separate from all of that. All of the other professions that I mentioned, even therapy or parenting, perhaps, there are all of these other roles. They are somewhat hierarchical. You as the professional, and the other person, the client or, the person that you're working with has a need, or there is a something is needs healing or less than, or there is a need for education. There are all of they are all hierarchical. In coaching, and the brilliance of coaching is that we show up as partners. We show up as peers at the same level as our clients. What we provide is a research-based structure of the coaching conversation, of a framework of the conversation that enables the client to be more reflective and to be able to see the situation through a broader perspective. It's a completely different approach that actually empowers the client much more than recognizing or coming with the preconceived idea that the other person is broken or lacking. In coaching, we believe that our clients are perfect and trying to discover what is next for them.
I have a couple of thoughts came to my mind. So the other day when I was in your messaging class, taking it for a second time, by the way, you asked a question about, I think it was about how the client is winning or something like that. And I said, when I ask questions and I keep my mouth shut, we both win. It's a win-win. And using the coaching model, I've watched it unfold. And at first I was slightly annoyed. I'm like, what? I have to have 25 hours in pro bono and 75 hours paid, however that's going to show up, to get accredited with the ICF. And then I realized the value of that. It has allowed me the practice to see how to best support whoever I'm working with, and also for me to win too, so that when we are done on our call, it's a win-win and the session is bright and beautiful and we both walk away feeling really great about what's been created on behalf of me making love visible and them discovering how to make love visible for them. And that brings me to another point, the ICF, International Coaching Federation. So once upon a time, I got a college degree and it was in interior design. And so I have a BFA, a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Interior Design. And they said, well, you know, you need to become a member of the ASID or the CKD. I'm like, oh my hell, we got some more letters here. So that's the American Society of Interior Designer, the kitchen, the certified kitchen design, right? And there was a big talk because the school I went to was in the process of becoming accredited. And so what I know about the school that I've attended for coaching is that they are one of the schools that the International Coaching Federation has approved. And so the program I can roll into now taking the exam with ICF. And the reason why I'm sharing this is because there's the ACC, the MCC, the PCC, and all these acronyms for becoming a better coach. And when I think back to my interior design, my Bachelor of Fine Arts, and people say, well, you're not working in the field. And I say, oh, yes, I am. I'm working on the interior design of me. Mm. It's the interior design of self, what I'm discovering and learning about me. And so having rolled into the coaching world, my next question would be, is the appellation or the certification or the letters after a name and the validity of coaching, because it's become so broad. There was one coach that said, if we had a coach for the president of the United States, we'd probably have a really great looking country. Anyway, so I'm like, oh, I'm doing the right thing. You know, I'm doing the right thing. So what is your feeling about accreditation and finding the right either organization or a coach that has done enough work that is the match? And so I'm just sort of curious about what your feeling is about accreditation within this field that lets somebody know that somebody's done the work and they're a professional of a certain aptitude, if you will.
Crucial for me. The certification and accreditation of the schools and the programs, all of this, and the work that the International Coaching Federation is essential for the profession, I feel. We are a self-regulated profession by choice, and it is imperative that we come together as a group internationally to tell the marketplace these are the standards that we follow, not only the practical standards of the profession, but the ethical standards of the profession as well. The ICF is very strong with their code of ethics and, you know, following ethical guidelines. So I feel that to come together as a group and make a statement to the marketplace, this is what coaching really is. This is what we abide by. And this is not something that we created individually, or I felt this way, or someone sat at a table one day and put things together based on their own experience. No, this is, there is research being done behind the scenes. The ICF is very strong with all of this research and what is happening around the world, not only here in North America, but around the world. There is a validity that these certifications bring. When you see someone who has an ACC, an MCC, a PCC behind after their names, it means that these people they went through a process of training, a process of showing their, demonstrating their level of skills. And therefore, by hiring someone with this level of certification, you have somewhat of an assurance that this person at least knows what they are doing. And for the profession and for the reputation of the profession around the world is essential.
I love how your voice became solid and grounded and like, this is it. And it was really indicative of what the ICF is about. It's the foundation of the work that we're doing. And so I'd like to learn a little bit more about you and what you have such a menagerie of what you do in the coaching profession. What was what lights you up the most? And I want to know more about you independently with your independent career, separate from teaching.
So I am very excited about, you know, besides all the training that I do and all the teaching and all the ICF and the certification and all of that, that I think it's crucial for the profession. As I mentioned before, the work that I do with clients, right? And is, to me, is fascinating. This idea that I'm bringing a mindset to an organization that can be the disruptor of the culture of that organization, that can be something that will bring back the humanity to the workplace. That is primarily my focus. Yes, we are all, and we need to be concerned about the bottom line, but what organizations need to remember more and more is that we cannot get to the bottom line at the expense of people. We get to the bottom line with people, and that people, the employees, they are the most valuable asset, truly, not only in word and paper, but we truly believe that the employees are the most valuable assets that we have in that organization. So this idea of coming to an organization and being able to say, hey, let's reconnect to who you are, the core, what is the purpose, what is the bottom line here as far as the humanity. I think that to me is so exciting, not only for the organization, but also going even beyond, because by helping the employees, helping the structure of the organization to connect with their individuality, I know that this is going to translate to the culture of the you know, outside of the organization, of our society. And I truly believe that coaching has the potential to really be the disruptor that we need in our world today to help us reconnect to who we truly are as human beings, so that we can be kinder to each other, so that we can be kinder to the world that we have around, our environment, our planet, and create a better society. And perhaps it will affect our president as well.
He might be calling on you or me to be his disrupting coach. What a dream. I like saying stuff like that. I'm the eternal optimist. So you used a couple of words besides disruptor, which happens to be one of the more catch-all, or it's a word of our immediate time. And I've heard a few others, like the influencer. And another word that I'm almost sick of is the word pivot. I'm almost sick of the word pivot, but at the same time, it's indicative of our time as we are in at this moment, and people that are looking to pivot and change instead of create something new or regenerate or recreate themselves, just pivot. You know, you're already on the right track. Let's just move again. And with that, the word mindset it's a consciousness creator, a mindset. And being an executive coach as you are, how do you work with mindset with people at the top instead of all of the people on the bottom? Like, you just dive right in for people at the top. So how do you work with mindset with the executive, with the people running organizations and the people at the top?
I find it not that hard, actually. And the reason why I say this is because I believe that we are all thirsting for that. This is what we want. We want to be authentic. We want to be making love visible all the time. This is what we long for as human beings. So when we create a framework, when we create the space for people to, oh, I can do this. Yes, there is smile. There is insight. And then it's a question of like how, figuring out like, okay, what is the application of it? How are we going to actually do it? But it is that mindset shift. It's oftentimes I feel that it's we're ready. It's just a question of like giving permission. Yes, we can do this.
So I'm sure that things show up exactly when they're supposed to. There are no mistakes. Things just do. And so I don't have a tagline that goes across the screen with your website and your phone number on it, but would you please share your website? Because of course I will hashtag and do all of those things, but please share with our audience how they can best find you.
So actually it's easy if you get to know my name, right? And if you're able to pronounce my name, I guess. So it's just eliasscultori.com. Just one word, eliasscultori.com. That is my website. You can also find me on LinkedIn as Elias Scultori. If you know how to spell my name, you'll be able to find me.
Okay. And so I'll be sure to write that down. And so share with us, since we can't see your website, some of the offerings that you have posted.
So
good stuff.
So primarily I work with individuals on a one-on-one. And if you have any specific points of discovery and transition, or there are choices that need to be made that you are searching for, you know, a space to really clarify and organize your thoughts to make sure that you move ahead, knowing, you know, on purpose and knowing the direction that you're heading. That is the work that I do with individuals specifically. So any transition or any questions or points of clarification, taking a breath, you know, making sure that you are making choices that are in sync and in alignment with who you are. That's the kind of work that I like to do. This is like for individuals, but I also work primarily with organizations in supporting leaders, bringing the coach approach or training leaders with the coach approach so that they can use the coach approach to their leadership. So in that particular model is like, instead of having to tell people, this is what you do, go and do this and everything, how can we instead invite everybody to the table by asking a question? And how can we do this so that we are tapping into the potential and the resources of the individuals instead of having them just as performing a task? So those are the primary types of work that I like to do. And then when I do work within organizations, of course, it's important for me to coach some of the leaders within the organization individually so that they can understand that even deeper the process of coaching.
I love it. I feel as if your whole entire life revolves around this, because it exudes from you in such a glorious be with state, at least for me. I don't know, I can't speak for anybody else. That's what I get from you, and I love it. Otherwise, I wouldn't have asked you to join me today. And I'm just wondering what you do to get away from this. Like, I go surfing. I discovered surfing on Mother's Day almost a year ago. I'm still a rookie, but I love it. And so what do you do to get out of your head or to support your world outside of coaching? Besides, I do see a piano in the background.
So it's interesting, Judy. It's a tricky question because coaching is at the core of who I am. So it's very hard to get away from it, because if I get away from it, I'm getting away from me. So from who I am. So it's always there somehow. But I understand like the practice of coaching and the day to day of coaching, right? So yes, I am a pianist. I am a trained classical pianist. So I play my music. And it's so interesting that nowadays I have my piano upstairs, and it's really the decompressing moment where I can sit down and play. My partner is a violinist, so we do duets together. And that is the activity that I do here within the house. But I used to be, before the pandemic, a world traveler. Travel is very important to me, because when I travel, it's not just a question of sightseeing, but it's really to connect with the locals and learn from them. That is fascinating to me as well. I love the outdoors, summer, beaches.
I think we only had 52 cases of COVID on Oahu, and we have almost a million people. So I so want to go mask-free all the time. And so that brings me to another point. Thank you so much for sharing that. I often have this coaching profession on my mind day and night. I wake up and I think, oh, I probably could have asked a better question. How could I have served my coaching client better with that? So my mind is busy chattering around with it. And then I wonder, like, okay, so I'm busy turning into this profession. It's June, it's actually a paid profession where you can charge a fee. You don't do this for free. This is you studied, you've worked hard, you've worked your whole life to become a coach. And at the same time, owning a destination wedding business, sometimes I feel like a coach for my couples, which is a really nice experience too. So that being said, Zoom, I want to just talk about Zoom and we'll see if we have anything else left over to speak on. I too have not traveled for a year, and I usually either travel to the mainland or I've been to once I went to Europe three times in a year for a month each time. So I have that feeling, and I feel I become alive when I meet strangers. I feel like I've been able to balance my introvert and extrovert to a certain degree thanks to the pandemic and really looking within and finding a place of ground. But I also love people, and I become alive with the company of strangers and discovering who they are and asking questions. So that brings me to the topic of Zoom. I see you sitting here and I'm looking at you as if you were in my space, and I've let go of everything, but I'm also looking at a computer screen with a monitor. And sometimes there's 40 people in a class, and I'm seeing people from all over the world, from Prague to Dubai to Mumbai to San Francisco to Honolulu. And I'm wondering for you now how that has affected your career. And has it overflowed it in new ways, and has it shut it down in other ways? So how has Zoom showed up for you in this world of coaching and your life of travel that hasn't happened for the last year, for that matter?
All my practice in all of these 16 years has been virtual, even before Zoom. We used to do coaching calls, and I still have a few clients where the coaching is done over the phone. There is a lot of research being done that, you know, our listening skills are a lot more sensitive than our visual, and that sometimes the visual disrupts and distract us from what the listening is really giving to us. So I remember going into coaching training and saying, like, I'm going to do this over the phone. I was so skeptical. And I got to a point where I wouldn't do any other way, because somehow that voice in my ear and really connecting with this person that is on the other side of the globe. But there is an intimacy in that phone conversation that can actually be even more productive than face-to-face in front of the person. I have found that has been my discovery in a coaching setting. Zoom came because it's a natural development of technology. All of a sudden, everybody's doing Zoom. And to me, it's fascinating that I am in this conversation. The technology is. It's amazing, right? I am in this conversation with people from all around the world, and having the opportunity to connect with them and having the opportunity to have a glimpse. It's so funny that the way you said, June, that you feel like I am in your space, right? I don't see you.
Genie in the bottle. You're a genie in the bottle.
Yeah, I don't see you in my space. I feel like that I am in your space. I feel like with my students, I have this opportunity to go, oh, I'm in Dubai. Oh, I am in Japan, or I am in Australia. I feel like it's kind of a virtual travel, I guess.
Yeah. You know what? I'm so glad that the question unfolded to this, because when I first started this Zoom thing, I was like, I was looking at the background and how the light was held. And I even was in a Toastmasters meeting yesterday, and I just did a screenshot of one of my friends. I'm like, look, you need more light on you. I've shared that with some of my coaching colleagues, my learning partners as well. Turn the light on you so we can see you. Like, I'm facing the outside window, so all this light is on me. Because if I'm coaching with somebody, I want them to see me. However, and listening skills. What I first discovered also was that, so say I have you as my coaching client on the screen, I discovered I was so busy looking at your surroundings that some form of possible consideration or judgment could come forward based on what I was seeing about who they were, rather than really listening, like a deeper sense of listening. So what I began to do was I'd slide a blank piece of paper over. So I was forced to tune in to the listening and still look at the screen. Like I could do it now so you can see what it would look like. I won't bother. But what I discovered was that it allowed me to bring in a deeper listening skill for myself to pay deeper attention to them. And this brings me to a really great technique that I learned from Shirzad Charmaine by taking a 7-week class. I received a grant through this program by some of my coaching colleagues. So we were in the 7-week program. And I discovered some of the listening, the positive quotient repetitions were about sound, like listening to the sound closest to me and then listening to the sound furthest away and really becoming tuned in or tapped into where my listening skills were at, just as a super short exercise. And it just came along with coaching. And man, gosh, Elias, thank you. Have I missed anything that you would like to share or anything more? Because we've been doing this for about 50 minutes so far. Oh, I mean, no. I could go on and on all day with you. I mean, let me just come to, wait, what city are you in?
So, well, what was the question you answered? I'm sorry.
Well, first of all, what city are you in?
I am very close to New York City. So, but I am on the other side of the river. So I'm in New Jersey, 20 minutes of Manhattan. It's a town called Montclair, New Jersey.
Montclair, beautiful. So I could hop over and see you, but here I've got you right here. So have I missed anything or is there anything else you'd like to share in this conversation?
Just June, that it's been a joy to get to know you. And I so appreciate your energy and the opportunity to share a little bit of my story with you and connect with you. I appreciate that so very much.
Thank you. I have to be honest, in part, I wanted to speak with you because I wanted to know more of you and be in your presence because I can just keep looking for your classes so I can be in your presence more until my 15 months is up and I have to enroll in the next program. But also, as I say this, to let the world know about the validity of coaching and the value of it. And so I wanted to have an expert such as yourself, somebody that is an assessor for the ICF, somebody that is presently coaching, has a career, has been doing this, and has the come from that you do. It just felt very valuable to share that it's not monkey business. This is like real life. And if you're looking to have a deeper awareness of self and what you're wanting to discover about being in this human, this vehicle that was given the name of June and Elias, that it would probably be a good idea to hit us up, everyone.
Thank you, June. This is a pleasure.
Thank you, everyone, for joining in today. This has been my longest program so far, and we'll definitely, I, in my Juniverse, will definitely keep it under an hour if I possibly can. I just enjoy people so much, and I'd like to thank all of you for watching today, the podcast, and please feel free to share a little bit of the Juniverse and making love visible. And Elias, thank you again, and bless you all. Have a wonderful day, and aloha. Thank you for joining me and making love visible.